1 week later, and Jesus Christ still wants to set your heart on fire. He still wants to fill your life with absolute faith, hope, love, joy, and a sense of mission in Christ. It's 1 week after Easter Sunday, and Jesus Christ is alive. He is the living Lord. All the heavy lifting has been done for us. The Lord did that himself, sending his son to the cross on your behalf to die for your sins, laid in the tomb. On the third day, he rose again. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered hell. He conquered Satan. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's at work in our world, and the Lord has a part for you in that. It's amazing. I have something this morning that I want you to believe, and I have something that I want you to do as well. Now, I found as I was studying and praying throughout the week that I could not escape the story of Cleopas. I just couldn't get away from Cleopas, try as I may. Because I realized I want to be that guy, you know? I mean, yeah, I want to be the Apostle Paul too, but I don't think that's going to happen. I want to be Peter, but I don't think so. I mean, there's only one Paul, there's only one Peter. But I'm thinking there's a whole boatload of Cleopases and Shems. And I want to be that guy. And I want my heart to be on fire for the Lord. And I want to be used of the Lord. So we had to spend one more Sunday with the story. We're going to wait till next Sunday to go back to Revelation. Actually, I prepared all week for Revelation. On your notes, it says Book of Revelation. But yesterday afternoon, as I was just praying and thinking about this, I thought, there's no possible way that we can't tell the rest of the story. You know? I mean, here's Cleopas and his buddy, and they're on the road to Emmaus, and they meet Christ, the risen Lord, and their hearts are set on fire, and they come back to Jerusalem, and they go into the upper room, and there's everybody talking about Peter and how he saw the Lord, and they walk in, and they say, yeah, well, we walked with Jesus for 7 miles, and our hearts were absolutely set on fire. It's such an exciting story, and I just can't leave it there. And actually, the Bible doesn't leave it there either. I can tell you what happens next in the life of Cleopas and Shem. They have an appointment in Jerusalem with the Spirit of God. I can tell you what happens next in their lives. The Lord comes to them and empowers their lives and actually allows them to be a part of the greatest movement the world has ever known, the movement of the Christian faith from Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the world. It's an amazing story. And, you know, I want to be that guy, and I want you to be in that story too. Now, last time I did Luke 24, 7 years ago, 7 years ago on Easter, I did the story, and somebody afterwards went out and had a t-shirt made for me, and it says, I am with Cleopas. I love the t-shirt. I just kept it. I said, that's perfect. I'm with Cleopas. That's excellent. So there you go. Now you've seen the t-shirt. Now that you have, will you open in your Bible to the book of Acts in chapter 1? And if you don't have a Bible, you need one, raise your hand, and a Bible will appear, and you can follow along in the scripture with us. Acts chapter 1 this morning. Here's how it goes. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, and he presented himself alive to them after his suffering, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1, is one of the most amazing and important verses in the whole Bible. Because what it tells us is that after Easter Sunday, the Lord Jesus was not finished with his work. What it tells us is that Christ, the risen Lord, isn't done. He has a lot more that he wants to do. And if there's something that I want you to believe with me this morning is, I want you to believe this. I want you to believe that Jesus isn't finished. He's not done. He's got way more that he wants to do. And that actually is the story of the book of Acts. Now, the Gospel of Luke is awesome. And in Luke, he starts with Theophilus and he ends with Cleopas. It's from Theo to Cleo. He begins to write his gospel and he says, I'm writing to you, Theophilus, that you might know the certainty of the things which you have been taught. He interviewed eyewitnesses. He got everything straight. He said, this is certain, this is history, this is real. And he wrote the story of Christ. He begins with the events that lead to the birth of Christ. He tells us of the incarnation of our Savior. He tells us of the ministry of Jesus. He tells us of how the kingdom of God invaded our world in the person of Christ. He tells us of people healed, set free, given their sight, sins forgiven, hope administered, the truth of God taught, miracles in Jesus' name, and then the death of Christ for our sins. On Easter Sunday, the resurrection, and he ends it all with a walk to Emmaus, Cleopas and his buddy, two guys that were skipping town, and Jesus went after them. What an amazing way to end the story. In Luke 24, at the end of that episode, we find them in the upper room. They're there with Jesus. Jesus is teaching them. Jesus is telling them how this gospel must be proclaimed to the very ends of the earth. And he says, now I want you to go and I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. And then it ends. It's over. I can imagine Theophilus reading this gospel account and thinking, oh, I don't want it to end. I don't want it to end. Have you ever read a book and you're like, this is so good, I don't want it to end. Why does it have to end? And he gets to the end of it, it's just over. Jesus is alive. It's Easter Sunday. They're celebrating. There's a mission in the world. But the story is over. And so Theophilus has to wait. He waits years. And one day he's looking out the window and the FedEx truck pulls up. Guy gets out with a kind of a long, looks like a tube. It looks like a scroll. Who's that from? A guy named Luke. Luke. And he knows it's the rest of the story. It's the rest of the story. Acts 1 and verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Oh, but that was just the beginning. Here's the rest of the story. Of all that Jesus continues to do and teach. Here's how the story progressed. And what we have in the book of Acts is the most remarkable story. Beginning in Jerusalem and taking us all the way to Rome. Beginning with the apostles and a group of 120, we find in Acts chapter 1, 120. Okay? Cleo and Shem are in the group. They're part of the 120. They're right there, for sure. They're there. And then God takes that group and he uses that group and he literally sends the power of the gospel out through the whole first century world. Lives are rescued. Sins are forgiven. Eyes are open. Prisoners are set free in reality and also figuratively. He literally turns the world upside down. City upon city upon city receive the gospel. Not everyone, but churches are established all the way to Rome itself. It's an amazing story. And one of the things that's so amazing about this book of Acts is that God did this work, and he didn't just do it through the superstars of the Christian faith. Oh, sure, there's Peter and Paul, and they get a lot of press in the book of Acts. But there's so many people that the Lord uses. So many names that are listed. Like Theophilus. Who's Theophilus? Who is this guy? There's two books in the New Testament that are addressed to him. Who is this guy? And by the way, who's Luke? Who is Luke? We find in the book of Acts that he's a traveling companion with the Apostle Paul. Oh, Paul, he gets the headline, and Luke is in the entourage. But the Lord used Luke to write the Gospel of Luke, the book of Acts. It's amazing. And there's character after character after character, name after name that gets like one line, one little mention in the story. And what we realize is that the Lord Jesus is working through all of these people to literally transform the world for the gospel of Christ. That's the story of the book of Acts. And it's one of the greatest stories ever. And it's a true story. We can go back and do the archaeology and we can look at the cities that are reported in the book of Acts and we can see this is real. This happened. The gospel came to these places. Churches were established. The world was changed. Isn't that beautiful? If there were like one headline for the book of Acts that we could give it, maybe we could give it this headline: Jesus isn't done. He's not finished. He has so much more that he wants to do. And I want you to believe that. Now, if Jesus is risen, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus Christ wants to do incredible things in this world, he has a mission, and he's using ordinary people to do it, then another label that we could put on the book of Acts is this: the Lord does extraordinary things through ordinary people. You've heard that phrase before, I'm sure. So let me put a twist on it. Your Christian life and experience ought to be much bigger than you. It should be way bigger than you. Jesus is Lord. He is risen. He is at work in the world. He's not finished, but he wants to use your life. Therefore, your Christian life should be bigger than you. Our life as a church should be bigger than us. Why? Because Christ, the risen Lord, is at work, and he's at work through ordinary people like us to do extraordinary things. Therefore, what we experience as a church, it ought to be bigger than us. Take a look at Acts chapter 1. He appears in verse 3. He presents himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In verse 6, so when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." That's a really important verse in the Bible. So I want you to wait. Because something's going to happen in your life that's actually going to empower you and equip you to be my witness, not just here, right here indeed, and then in growing circles of influence until this gospel reaches out through your lives to the furthest extent of this world. That's the program of Christ, the risen Lord. That program has not changed. That's his program to this day. So you see, I couldn't just go back to the book of Revelation. We'll get there. But I had to just wait a minute and say, do you really get the post-Easter reality? Do you understand what's going on here? We can't just go back to status quo. We can't just go back and go, we're just going to learn some things from the book of Revelation here, Pastor Guy. I hope it's a good one this Sunday. We as a body, we as a group of Christians are living in this post-Easter reality of Christ the risen Lord. And the Lord is calling us to be his partners to literally transform the world. It's amazing. It's a wonderful, wonderful privilege. And he promises to give us the power to do that. Now, what's your role? What's your job? This is the beauty of the whole thing. This is what you need to do. You just need to keep showing up. You need to just show up. Now, I don't mean just show up at church, though I'd like that. That'd be good. You need to just show up in the post-Easter reality and say, Lord, here I am. I'm available to you. See, that's what's so awesome about Acts chapter 1. Jesus commanded them. He said, I want you to go and I want you just to hang out in Jerusalem. All right, just wait there. But their waiting wasn't a passive thing. It wasn't just, you know, like, okay, well, we're just waiting. It was an active thing. I want you to wait for something. I want you to watch for something. I want you to expect something to happen. He says, I'm going to actually empower your life with the power of the Holy Spirit to turn the world upside down. He says, I want you to show up. I command you. He says, show up in Jerusalem. Show up. Show up ready. Show up expectant. Show up waiting. Show up eager. And the Bible says at the end of Luke 24 and then later in Acts 1 that they were coming to the temple every day. They showed up every day. They were filled with joy. They were praying. They were praising. They were in community together. But they were showing up together and going, here we are, Lord. Here we are. God, do a work in our lives. This is what the Bible talks about when the Bible tells us in Romans 12. Should we look at Romans 12? Just go to the next book of the Bible. Maybe you know this verse, Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. He says, please, this is what I want you to do. By the mercies of God. That's code for the gospel. Because of the gospel. Because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Because of the forgiveness of sins. Because of the miracle of the resurrection. The victory of God. All of that. He says, therefore, I appeal to you. He says, I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice. That's your spiritual worship. That's what they did in Acts 1. I believe they showed up every day and they said, here we are. We're just showing up. We're presenting ourselves to you, Lord. We're praying. We're expecting. We're worshiping. Here we are. Present yourself to the Lord. Show up. Bring your mind. For in Acts 1, it says that the Lord taught them for 40 days about the kingdom. They had things that they had to learn. Luke 24, he gave them a Bible study. He showed them in the scriptures, you know, how the scriptures pointed to his death and his resurrection and to the mission that would go to all the ends of the earth. He said, bring your mind. Be ready. Get your Bible. And let me instruct your mind, okay? Show up with your head. Show up with your heart. Because I want to set your heart on fire, just like in Luke 24. And I want to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I want to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I want the power of the Spirit to come upon your life. Show up with your head, with your heart, and with your hands and feet, your body. Because I have a work for you to do in this world. The book of Acts, it's called the book of Acts, not the book of ideas. The book of Acts, because there's action to be taken. And yes, it's the acts of God. It's the acts of Christ. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit. He's doing the work. But who's he working through? He's working through ordinary people. Not just the big names of the faith, but through the whole body of Christ, he's working through ordinary people. And it's a wonderful thing. Do you believe that? So in the post-Easter world, here's what I want you to do. I want you to believe that Jesus isn't finished, and I want you to keep just showing up and keep presenting yourself. And here's the amazing thing. You present yourself to Jesus, Jesus will present himself to you. Go back to Acts chapter 1 and in verse 3. Do you see what it says? He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. He presented himself. Now, you see the same word that we read in Romans chapter 12. It says in Romans 12, present yourself as a living sacrifice, alive, living to the Lord. And in Acts 1, it says the Lord Jesus presented himself alive to them. It's the same Greek word. It's the same word in the Bible. And the word literally means to make yourself available. And so clearly in Romans 12, you can see that, oh yeah, well, present yourself to the Lord means make yourself available. That makes total sense. But now can you take that same meaning and can you add it to Acts chapter 1? Jesus presented himself alive to them. Well, but what if that means he made himself available? What if for 40 days Jesus kept showing up, showing up, showing up? They never knew when Jesus was going to show up, but they're like, he's going to show, he's going to show. Sure enough, Jesus would show. And then Jesus would say, I want you to know I'm available. I'm available to you. All of my strength, all of my wisdom, all of the gifts that you need to succeed in the endeavor that I'll call you to, it's all available to you. And even after you don't see me physically anymore, the Holy Spirit, I will send the Holy Spirit in my name, and I will be present in the person of the Holy Spirit, present in your life, present in your heart, present in power, and I will be available. Every single day, 24 hours a day, I will be available. He presented himself. What a lovely deal. You show up and present yourself to the Lord. The Lord shows up, presents himself to you. Sweet deal. What can Christ, the living Lord, do through an available life? That's what the book of Acts is about. I found out something a long time ago, that what God does here at River West doesn't have a whole lot to do with my ability or lack thereof. It's not all about, wow, look at guy go, it's amazing. Or, look at that idiot, what's he doing now? It's not about that. It's about Jesus. And you know, that takes such a load off. It's so amazing. So what about you? Now, about 2 weeks ago, I was in Chicago with the pastors of our church. We had gone to this conference, the Gospel Coalition Conference. And it was amazing. There was between 5,000 and 6,000 Christian leaders from all over the states and all over the world had come to this thing. It was amazing. And as you know, some of our pastors were talking about, we feel like we're witnessing a move of God, an unprecedented move of God in our generation, in our times, to see this happen. There have been three of these conferences, it's been every other year. And the first one had like 500 people or something. And then the next one had 3,000. And this one had 5,000 to 6,000. And it's just like a groundswell. And it's amazing because it's so focused on Jesus, the gospel, the word. The subject of the conference this time was preaching Christ from the Old Testament. And one of the topics of one of the speakers was, I kid you not, getting excited about Melchizedek. Okay, spellbinding stuff. Getting excited about Melchizedek. Are you joking? 6,000 people came to hear this? Why? What's going on? It must be a move of God. Has to be. Well, we heard some of the heavy hitters of the faith. You know, they were up there just hitting it out of the park. Pitch me another one. It was great. We were dazzled and we were inspired and it was a great deal. And then something really weird happened. at the end of the thing. It had officially ended. And then there was like one sort of after seminar. Tim Keller from New York was talking about how to impact your city for Christ. But before he got up there, a member of his congregation, who is an artist, a well-known artist, got up to simply introduce his pastor, Tim Keller. And while he was speaking and just talking about his pastor and talking about why he attends this church, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I had a Holy Spirit moment. It was really a profound thing to me. Because this man got up there and he said, the reason why I go to the church I go to is because I've always wanted to be a part of something that's bigger than myself. And something where I know that it's a movement of God. And as soon as he said that, the Holy Spirit, I felt, spoke to my heart and said, that is the reality of River West Church. And he showed me a picture of you. Like right now, like I'm standing here, I'm looking at you. I saw a picture of you. And I felt like the Lord said to me, I am going to do in and through River West Church things that are going to amaze. They're just going to amaze you. And I felt like the Lord said to me, I'm going to directly speak to people's hearts, directly speak by the Holy Spirit to their heart, and I'm going to call them. I'm just going to call them into service. And I'm going to show them how they can be a part of something amazing. And each person, their Christian life and experience is going to be bigger than them. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that why Cleopas turned around on the road to Emmaus? Didn't he say, this is amazing. This is better than I could ever imagine. And he turned around and he went back. He says, I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. And the Lord spoke to me and said, my Holy Spirit, I'm going to touch people's hearts and they're going to respond and amazing things are going to happen because they're just going to show up. They're going to answer that call. I get pretty excited about that. I'm excited. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak directly to you. If you don't want that to happen, I recommend you go elsewhere. Because it's going to happen. On Friday night, there was a concert here. It's kind of a concert. Princess Lost. It was sponsored by Door to Grace, which is a ministry that's connected with our church, and there's members from other church involved in it as well. And it has to do with the issue of sex trafficking of children in our city. There's another ministry called Mending the Soul. It's out of Phoenix, and they deal with how to heal brokenhearted, abused, abandoned people. And it's a really powerful thing. They've been doing the training at our church around this issue. So they had this concert, and the concert was, these three young ladies got up and sort of told their story of abuse and abandonment, and they had songs that went with it. It was really powerful. Well, I was in the back, and a man came up to me from another church, and he said, you're one of the pastors here, right? I said, yeah, I am. He said, this is amazing. Like, this place is amazing. He said, how did you guys ever get into this place? And I said, I have no idea. I did. I said, to be honest with you, I have no idea. He said, yeah, I used to drive by here years ago when they were building it. And I'd go, wow, that's kind of amazing. I hope the Lord uses that place. And I said, I used to drive by here too, and I would be bitter in my heart. I wish it weren't true. But actually, I would drive by. We were meeting in a cafeteria, you know. And I'd drive by and I'd go, wow, look at that place. This guy's having a nice place. Praise the Lord. And, you know, and I used to think, well, man, you know, it's seriously, that's awesome. And the Lord is going to use that. And it's a great deal. But here's the answer to the question. Well, how did you get that place? Okay. Well, I don't really know for sure, but I do know this. I know the Lord said to me, just keep showing up. Just show up. Just show up with your head and your heart, your hands and feet, and just keep showing up. And there was a lot of times when I'm thinking, you know what, this is kind of hard. I don't want to show up anymore. It's getting kind of hard, you know, or it's been a rough week or whatever. I don't really want to show again. And I'd go home and tell my wife and say, I don't want to show up anymore. She'd say, you wimp. Let's go back, do it again. No, she didn't say that. And I would think, well, you know, maybe the Lord's going to do something this next week. Let's see what that might be. Just show up again one more time. We'll just show up one more time. Maybe the Lord's going to heal someone. Maybe the Lord's going to speak to someone. Maybe his word is going to be precious to us. Maybe our worship will be alive. Maybe the Lord will birth some ministry in someone's heart. Let's just show up one more time and see what happens. And that's really the story of River West Church from my viewpoint. And really, today, I'm doing exactly the same thing, just show up. Because I believe that if I show up, the Lord will do something. And it's about him. Now, at the concert on Friday night, there's one of the young ladies who said, I'm going to do this song that's really hard and I don't feel like it. You know, I mean, it's been a long week. We've done a few of these and I'm not feeling low, like I just don't have it in me to do this, but I'm going to do it. You know, I got my brothers and sisters here and I know God wants me to do it and I'm going to do it. And it was beautiful. She did this song. It was very meaningful. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, that's the formula. That's the formula. She didn't exactly feel like it, but she said, I'm just going to show up. I'm just going to present what I have. I'm just going to do this thing in Jesus' name. It's what he's given me to do. I'm just going to do it by faith. And the Lord used it in a wonderful way. It was really powerful. It spoke to me. The Lord ministered to me through that. Isn't that an awesome thing? What would happen if every person in this room and from the service before and all the people that aren't here who were here last week, what would happen if every single one of those people got up every day of their life and said, I'm living in the post-Easter reality. Christ is risen. He is Lord. He's not finished. He does extraordinary things through ordinary people. My Christian life ought to be bigger than me. And so you know what? Today, I'm just going to show up. I'm going to make myself available. Lord, here I am. Here's my head. Here's my heart. Here's my hands and my feet. Lord, I present myself to you, and I'm expecting that you'll do something bigger than me. What would happen if every day every one of us did that? I can tell you what would happen. The book of Acts would happen. That's the book of Acts. That's the post-Easter reality. And it's amazing. On the wall, as you come in the foyer, there's a series of pictures. Every one of those pictures is connected to a ministry which we're involved in our church. People from our church are either started those ministries or are involved in those ministries. And every single one of those represents a person or a group of people who simply said, I'm going to show up. I'm just going to show and see what the Lord will do. It's amazing. There's the village in Nueva Renacer. And it's just so cool, the story, because there was a group of people who in the early days of that ministry just said, we believe God's calling us to do this. The Friesens, the Cluffs, Jeff Brown, some other people in the church. And they had no idea what they were doing. They really didn't know what they were doing. And I went on a couple trips and I can validate. They didn't know what they were doing. None of us did. We're like, what's happening? What are we doing? And then, but we just showed up. And then the Lord would do something. It'd be beautiful. It'd be amazing. It's like, wow, that's so cool. AOET is up there. It's a ministry in Africa. Tina Anderson is one of the folks from our church that's involved with that. Tina has a cool story because when Tina came to our church, the Lord actually got a hold of her life. She gave her life to Jesus, turned her life completely around, got in the Word, became a member of our church. A couple of years later, I started a class in our church called College of the Heart. It was based on Luke 24. Get it? College of the Heart. Our hearts were burning. I was really into Luke 24. I still am. And so I did this class. And Tina came. She signed up for it. She walked through the door. And I looked at Tina and I said, you know, you're sort of like organized, aren't you? You're like administrative. What do you do for work? You know, she had this really cool job, you know, advertising account person, and she was all administrative, and she told me about it. I said, I need help. You should quit your job. I think you should quit your job. Why don't you just quit? Quit and come down here and help me. Help me with this class. You can help with some stuff in the church. It'll be beautiful. She said, okay, she quit her job. She just quit her job. What can you pay me? Nothing. Not much. Not what you're making. Okay, I'll quit. She quit. Came to work. Helped with the church. Went to El Salvador with one of the trips. The Lord said, move to El Salvador. So she moved to El Salvador and worked with an organization called Enlace. Moved back. Lord got her involved with an organization that ministers in Africa. And it's such a cool story. And there's story after story after story up there. But Tina would never tell you, yeah, all this happened because I'm so cool. I'm amazing. If she said that, I'd poke her. I'd slug her. She would never say that. She knows that's not true. She knows that all she did was just show up. Oh, but when you show up, amazing things happen. There's a ministry called the Micah Project, which our church didn't start, but some folks from our church are involved in. It's a wonderful ministry in Honduras. And they rescue these young boys off the streets, drug addicted, abandoned boys. And they bring them into Christian community and discipleship, and they love them and they nurture them and they turn their lives around. It's a fantastic ministry. It's amazing. Jonathan and Carolyn Rogers were actually involved in Night Strike, you know, downtown. And they heard about this ministry, and the Lord spoke to them and just said, you need to go. You just need to go. And they went down there. They said, okay, here I am. It's available. I don't know what I'm doing. This went. And the Lord has used that to enrich our church as we can participate in that ministry. And there's story after story after story that goes just like that. What about you? So here's in Chicago what I saw. I saw the Lord show me a picture of you, and the Lord said, I'm going to speak directly to people's hearts, and they're going to answer that call, and then we're going to change the world because of it. Is people just saying yes, just saying I'm available? And some people get really nervous about that. But I want you to note the text in Acts chapter 1. It says in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. First, I want you to notice the geography. He started where they were. You're going to be my witnesses right here in Jerusalem. Start right here. Start where you are. You don't have to get in a plane and fly to Africa. You don't have to learn a language and go somewhere. You don't have to even go downtown. You can start right where you are. You can say, here I am, I'm available to serve you, Jesus. Right here. In some small, minimal way. And as soon as you do, you've entered into the pattern of the book of Acts. You say, Christ is risen. I'm a part of the community. Lord, what would you have me do? Boom, you're in. And the Lord begins to do amazing things in our lives and in our world. And now he can teach you and train you. And if he wants you to do other things, then he'll show and he'll direct that. You need to start somewhere. But the second part of it is this. The Lord promised them the power to do that which he was calling them to. He said, I want you to wait because I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. Now here's the best part of all. Is that the Holy Spirit will give you the power to do the very thing that he's calling you to do. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So he told them to wait, which translated means to wait expectantly, to pray, to seek, to ask. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to empower your life for ministry. That's what I want you to do. Don't get all geeked out about the theology of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit and when it happens, all the you know details of that. Don't do that. We'll save that for another sermon. What I'd like you to do is I would like you to acknowledge, in order to do the work of the Lord, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon my life. And I'm going to seek that, ask for it, and I'm going to expect it to happen in my life. Ask the Lord and expect it to happen. Now, we were taught by Jesus in Luke chapter 11 and in verse 13, at the end of a little section about prayer, Luke 11:13, he says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We're actually taught to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, I know that when you believe in Jesus, the Bible says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. I understand that, of course. I know that you can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit in your life. I totally get that, of course. To be a Christian means that you're actually born again. You're born of the Holy Spirit. When you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, makes you a new creation in Christ. All of that is true. But there's this whole dynamic to the Holy Spirit in the Christian life, which is the Holy Spirit coming upon us to empower us for the work he's called us to do. Look, if this was about you being clever, smart, learning a bunch of things, coming up with a perfect strategy, and then going out and doing it, well, that would be one thing, but that's not the book of Acts. And it probably wouldn't go that well. But it's not about that. It's about you showing up and saying, "Here I am, I'm available, Lord, and I'm willing to do your work. Now, Lord, empower me to do it. Direct me and empower me to do it." And then he does. I want you to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon your life to enable you to serve. Now, be forewarned. This does not mean that you're necessarily going to have an emotional experience where you feel like you've been bezapped with 220. 220 volts. You put your hand in the socket. It doesn't mean that. That happens to some people. And it's great and I'm glad for them. I know a lot of people, a lot of Christians, who look like they're hooked up to 220 volts all the time. Their eyes are bugging out of their head. Their hair kind of stands out. And they're just... I know them, and they're awesome, and I love them. But I've also noticed something, and that is that a lot of those people looked like that before they were Christians, too. I'm serious. I know a Christian lady who is so on fire for Jesus that it's unbelievable. I mean, I get around, and I'm like, "You're hooked up to nuclear power." It's amazing, the energy level, the zeal, the passion. It's amazing. But then I hear her story and I go, "Oh, you were kind of like that before you were a Christian too." She used to travel in an all-nude volleyball team league. This is true. I'm not making this up. We'll withhold the names to project. She was out there. She was out there, man, just the Apostle Paul. The guy was radical for the Lord. He was radical before he was a Christian. He was chasing down Christians and dragging them into prison. He was frothing. Then he got saved and he comes to Jesus and he's... But he's under the power of the Holy Spirit, directed by the Spirit. You know, God has a way of working with who we are. And I love that. So don't, you know, if you say, "Well, I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit," and the next thing you know, I'm going to have big hair and I'm going to be, you know, like some raving, crazy Pentecostal or something. Don't worry about it. If you are, that'd be awesome. It'd be entertaining. But probably not. It's probably not going to happen. But, you know, you should seek the power of the Holy Spirit and never be afraid to ask. In fact, you have to ask. When you see the task that's before us, don't you have to ask? Don't you have to expect? Don't you have to long for God's power to be at work within us? Of course. So I want you to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon your life and then watch what the Lord will do in and through you. That's the story of the book of Acts. Now, that was what happened to Cleopas and his buddy. That was the next step, was that. They met the risen Lord. Their hearts were filled. Their hearts were on fire. They had faith. They had understanding in the word. They got a vision of their mission in the world. All of that happened. And next, book of Acts, Jesus said, I want you to show up, present yourself, trust me for the power of the Holy Spirit, and watch what will happen. I'm really, really excited about what God's doing in our church. And like I said, I don't know how we got here, and I don't know where we're going. But I do know that if we show up every single day, all of us, and present ourselves, that the most amazing things are going to happen. We're going to have a ministry moment at the end of our church service today. And it's for the Micah Project. Okay, so we're sending a team to Honduras. And it'll explain some of those things to you, opportunities that are there. But here's the deal. You're going to be seeing more of these ministry minutes at our church. And the reason why is because it's opportunities for you to show up. To say, here I am, Lord. And the Lord may speak to you and say, I want you to be involved in one of these things. Some of them are in town. Some of them are far away. Some of them are right here at the church. But as you begin to know what God is doing in and through our community, then you, for one thing, you know how to pray. Pray together. Pray for these ministries. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. Pray. Because it's God's work and not ours. But also, as you're exposed to these things, you have the opportunity then of the Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, that's the thing over there that I am drawing your heart to. That's the area that I'm asking you to be involved in. And as you answer that calling and pray for the Holy Spirit, things are going to happen in your life. And it's going to be an amazing thing. That's where we're headed. That's what our goal is as a church. I'd like us to take a few minutes and pray about that right now. Lord, how cool it is to be living on this side of the miracle of Easter. It's so great, Lord, to have the record of what you did in lives in our New Testament, knowing, Lord, that this is how you work. We're taking notes. We're listening in. And Lord, we want to learn and grow. So I pray, Lord, for myself, I pray for my brothers and sisters at River West Church that we might become that community, that 120, that group that shows up, that's available, that's listening, that's seeking you and trusting you for your power upon our lives. And so, Lord, I pray even now that as we sing a song together that you will receive this as a prayer. And I pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts with your love and power even this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.